Hello, friends. I'm going to play my gym dance. Guys, it's new year, new me. Okay? 2018, new season of the Par Train.
I'm excited.
And we've got that new intro excited. Song, too.
Yeah, it got me jacked up. It's one of my faves.
I think our listeners might know it.
You might have heard it before, and if not, look it up.
It's an original. This is going to be a fun year. You know what? Before we dive into the first segment here of three bold predictions for 2018, with a fortune teller, by the way. Number one fortune teller ranked in the world we've got. What are we drinking? First drink of the new year.
You know, I'm going with a little bullet on the rocks. You know, trying to make it a great, strong, hair on my chest, 300, 400 drive kind of year.
Sounds like you could use it. It sounds like you're struggling with that sip right there.
Yeah, he sounds like, you know, he's trying to like be on an infomercial or something.
You know what? Ev, why don't you tell us about the rosé you're drinking?
It's actually, you know, just a classic red. I got a nice red, no sulfites here. And I'm feeling good. Strat, what do you got?
Okay. I got a Bud Heavy that I found in the back of my fridge left over from a holiday party. So,
no, you didn't.
Yes, I did. You hear that? That's a Bud Heavy, and it's sitting heavy.
Hope I your fridge works.
Can remember why I didn't
warm Bud Heavy.
Well, this is a good episode. Okay, we're gonna preview the new year in a new way, and we're even gonna give you some 2017 stats you didn't know. We're gonna debate latest thing Brandel said and tell you what we're planning for the new year. But let's just jump right in. This is a little embarrassing because, you know, when you have a esteemed guest on, first rule of esteemed journalism, make sure you pronounce their name right. This could be dicey.
Uh-oh.
Clairvoyant Clarence is the fortune teller that we have on the line. They're the number one ranked fortune teller in the world, and we were lucky to get them. Basically, what we're going
to
do.
This was a tough one to get. I'm pretty impressed with ourselves.
This took weeks.
Yeah.
Not easy to book.
No. This took weeks. And what we're going to do is each one of us has three bold predictions for the new year.
I think it's clairvoyant is the way you pronounce it. Okay. Clairvoyant Clarence.
My apologies, clairvoyant. Clairvoyant is going to listen to our three bold predictions and then tell us which one, if any, maybe all of them, will come true. Okay?
I hear the guy's good.
All right. Now, since Cermak,
he's really good.
Since Cermak is starting the year off with a little infomercial voice, Cermak, I'm going to let you lead it off.
You want to talk about my three big predictions? I mean, Ev's probably going to give us 20 predictions, Strat. So just get ready for that. But
yeah, buckle up.
Look, these are bold. These are grand. But here we go. Phil's going to get a win this year. I'm not saying it's going to be a major, but here's the thing. That win he gets, Bones is back in the bag.
Wow.
Okay.
Wow.
Like that one, Bones is back in the caddy sphere this week with Justin Thomas. Bones find his way back to Phil. That's number one. Number two, Tiger gets a new coach.
Again? Or I guess, yeah, no, okay. Yep.
That's your bold, that's your bold prediction?
Got rid of the old one.
Well, what did he come out and say? You know, he said, I'm my coach, right? Mm-hmm. So he's going to run with that until that doesn't work out. Hank Haney famously wrote in his book, Tiger always needs to be working on something. Somebody needs to tell him something. I'm not saying it's going to be Hank or Butch, but Tiger's going to get a new coach this year. All right, number two. Number three, Pat Perez. Everyone's boy out there. He's a Par Train guy. This guy's playing so good. Here's the thing, though. He's going to be leading or close to the lead on a back nine of a major this year, and he's going to have a meltdown. Okay? He's going to have a huge meltdown below the tournament. He's going to be cursing. He's going to be swearing up a storm in the presser and probably talking about how much beer he's going to drink that night. So we're going to see an epic meltdown in the major by Perez. He's playing so good, he's going to get there, but it's not going to happen.
Wow. Clairvoyant, welcome to the show. Did you hear everything that Cerm went through?
Yes, I hear all of the things that Cermak says for the year. First of all, merci bien. Thank you so much for having me on tonight. I saw the stars a long time ago that I would be here in this moment. So it's truly a thrill to tell you what 100% will happen next year. First, Cermak, I don't know why you talk about Pat Perez this way. He's going to be a new father. I knew he would be a father before he knew he was going to be a father. But he will not have a meltdown. He will not have a meltdown. Okay. Tiger with a new coach, this is, you know, this is a technicality. This to your point of your co-host, Evan, he is obviously going to get a new coach because he has no coach at the moment. So this one is stupid as well. But I like this one for Phil and win again with putting Bones on the back. So this one, Mercury is in retrograde, and this is the one I think will happen. So we have Phil for win and Bones back on the back.
So just to review, thank you, Clairvoyant. We really appreciate
of course,
you
yes, no, of course,
having you on the show.
How did we book this guy?
Sir, he's still in the air.
You gotta stop responding to ads in the physical newspaper. But anyways,
I mean, Clairvoyant, you're ranked number one in the world, right?
Number one in the world, just second like best on Yelp.
So just to review for all the listeners, because Clairvoyant, I know you've got a thick accent. You know, we are all about dreamers in the United States, people from all over.
It's great.
Phil will win with Bones on the bag. That is a certainty. Okay. Now, real quick, just so the listeners can understand, are you using a crystal ball? Are you touching your temples? How do you do this? What's your system?
This is a bit different than what most people do, but I place my right index finger into a glass of warm Chardonnay, and that is how I connect with the other side.
Interesting. Okay. Strat, you want to go next?
Yeah. Okay. So first of all, big thanks again. Really appreciate Clairvoyant Clarence coming on. So I've got Tiger shooting a 59. I think he's coming back real fired up. I've heard very little from his last outing until his announcement that he's playing the Farmers. And I like that he's just – we're not hearing anything, which I think is good news going into this first round. I think he's shooting a 59. I think – DJ could win two majors, and I think that this could finally be the year that Ricky breaks through and either has multiple wins, no less than four, or even grabs the elusive major.
Wow.
So,
Ev, I think Clairvoyant is going to think these picks are so just not great, but let's see what he thinks.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Calling Strat out right before Clairvoyant. Let's not sway the fortune teller here, sir.
I know. Let's just see what he thinks.
All right, Clairvoyant.
Yeah, okay. Well, go ahead, Clairvoyant.
Yes. Yeah, so thank you again, Sir Mac, for putting words in my mouth. So I will tell you what I think. Okay. First of all, Tiger with the 59. This is very audacious. I don't know if this is possible. I want to see, but I can't tell. This one is cloudy, okay? Perhaps there is a charge there. Perhaps there is energy, but we move through the list. DJ winning two major. Also, there is some positive ions with this one, okay? I like this one. This looks good. Ricky with a breakthrough year. I'm sorry. I love Ricky, but I don't know if he has it in him. He's got his new girlfriend. He's too happy. I don't think there is enough fight in that dog. So, as I mull over the decision again, I think I am seeing a lot for the Tiger Shooter 59. I think this is the one that's going to happen. I think it will be in the final round of a big tournament. It will be large, très grand, big news. Wow. Okay, well, that doesn't shock me.
Like I said, where do we get this guy? He's going to shoot 59 in the final round of a tournament.
These are not my views. I'm just the one telling you what the universe is telling me. This is what will happen next year. So you can shoot the messenger if you want, but get in line.
So Tiger will shoot a 59 is the only true one for Strat?
That is the one that comes most true, most pure for me.
Wow.
Well, I appreciate that, Clarence.
Wow. Okay. Well, a lot of pressure on me. All right.
Go ahead, Ev.
Okay. Number one. 2018 will be the greatest golf season we've ever watched. And Clairvoyant, I know you're a numbers guy. If you want to define that, just compare the ratings. More people will watch the 2018 season than any golf season ever watched. And it'll also be a 14 and 2015 throwback. And what I mean by that is Rory will be back. Rory might win multiple times. Jason Day will be back. Will win multiple times. Spieth will win multiple times. DJ, Rom, Ricky will all win. Ricky will win his first major. Tiger will contend, and the Ryder Cup will be the best Ryder Cup ever.
Whoa, that's okay. That's a lot.
Okay, sorry, Clairvoyant.
We needed three.
Yeah, well, you know, Clairvoyant, I'm trying to give him support for why I think 2018 will be the greatest golf season ever watched. Okay?
All right. Okay, we'll see if he can even remember all of those things you just said. Yeah. Go ahead, keep going.
Give it a shot, Clarence.
He is the gift of the universe, so... bold prediction number two, Tony Finau will win twice at least. So just some support, Clairvoyant. Over the fall, he had a second at Safeway, tied 11th at the WGCHSBC, tied 4th at the QBE shootout, 7th at the BMW, and 7th at the Tour Championship to finish the year. So he's continued his good play. And he had 8 top 10s last year. John Rahm had 11. Not to mention he's 10th in driving distance at 309. The guy's just primed to break out. Okay? Bold prediction number three. Peter Uihlein and Patrick Cantlay become a household name, meaning the lady that makes the best Bloody Mary at the... What's the course we play, Strat?
Down in Long Beach? Skylinks.
Skylinks. Yeah. The girl that makes the incredible spicy Bloody Marys at Skylinks will know who Peter Uihlein and Patrick Cantlay are because they will be a force this year on tour.
Okay.
Okay.
Let's do a quick recap there.
Clairvoyant? Yeah. Clairvoyant, do you need a recap?
So, to be honest, the first one was pretty difficult for me to wrap my head around. It sounded like a short story, okay, but the second one, you think Tony Finau win 2 times, and then you think Uihlein and Cantlay become a big time name. What was first?
2018 will be the greatest golf season we've ever watched, and we'll
that's pretty nebulous.
Yeah, but I said that it'll feature the highest.
Let him speak.
Oh, finally, Cermak is on my team again. Thank you, Cermak. Yes, please let me speak. More important, let the universe speak through me, okay?
Oh, sure. Let it happen.
2018 to be the greatest golf season we've ever watched. Again, like I say, it's very muddy, okay? The terroir on this is a bit shitty, as you call. This one I don't like, okay? There is a decent amount of energy around Tony Finau to win 2 times. I like what I see from this person. He's very tall. He's an athlete. Hmm. He plays basket. He can... also shoot golf balls very long and far. There is energy. There's something there. And finally, you've got Peter Uihlein and Patrick Cantlay become big-time name. All the cart girl know them. This is the one that you say as well?
Correct.
Okay. The problem here is that, unfortunately for Uihlein, his last name does not make any sense to spell. So this one is also not good. This leaves us with... Tony Finau win 2 times this year. I like this. It makes a lot of sense. This is what I go with.
Wow. Clairvoyant. So let me just review for the wagerists out there. Tony Finau will win at least 2 times.
At least.
Tiger will shoot a 59 on the final round of the tournament.
Maybe a 58. At least a 59.
Oh, wow.
Oh, now it's a 58.
Okay.
The universe. Hey, it's the universe. Shoot the messenger. Come on, man. We talk about this.
Now it's 58. And Phil will win with bones in the bag. Those three things will 100% happen in 2018.
I have never been more sure of anything in all my life.
Wow. Okay. Well,
I mean, I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. That makes sense to me.
Oh, hey, Strat.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure, but we're very thankful for Clairvoyant for coming on the show and just really kind of giving his all. You know.
Yeah. Yes. Now, please, if you excuse me, I must do a session with Christian Slater in the Hollywood Hills, so I must run along.
Yeah, thank you very much, Clairvoyant. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks, Clarence.
Yeah. Oh, Clarence. Going by the last name. Okay. Wow.
That guy was...
certainly one of the more eccentric segments we've had here on the Par Train.
Well, you know, it's like anything goes in Love and War. And why wouldn't we try to get that guy on and see what he thinks, what he's pulling out of the universe? So I, for one, think it was eye-opening.
Yeah, it's not every day that you have a...
Tiger's not shooting 59. I'm just going to say
Wow. You're right. I mean, I believe Clarence told us it was going to be a 58. So.
Oh.
That's true. Good point.
Okay.
It might be on a par 71. How about that?
All right. Evstrat. I mean, like those are some of the, I mean, from the best fortune teller in the world to the second best, that's what we think, you know, he thinks is going to happen. Great. Okay. But what do we really want though in 2018? Ev, you want to get it going?
It's a hell of a segue, sir.
Yeah. The guy's been drinking his segue.
Because, you know, I mean, I'm glad he's off. I mean, that was fun, but I let's get into it.
There was some tension between those two.
Yeah. Before I go into what I want for 2018, I'd like Cermak to treat our guests a little better. Be honest.
Yeah, I mean, there's got to be a little bit. Maybe
second,
more
if you're going to market yourself as second best fortune teller, okay, I mean, do a little better job than that.
Did he say second best? I thought he was the best.
No, I don't.
It sounded pretty good to me.
I guess he was top three.
All right. One thing that I want in 2018, and this is going to be my thing all year. I'd like the Partrain crew actually to lead the charge on this for the PGA Tour. I'm throwing the challenge flag on this. Hey, PGA Tour, let's mic up the caddies. Make it happen. We talked to Chap about it. He was a little iffy. He doesn't think there's any upside for the player or the caddy. Hey, do it one tournament every month. Couple groups. They know they're mic'd up. They're going to censor themselves a bit. But then we get that inside look and listen of what they're trying to do on the course and their decisions. And who knows, we might get a couple funny tidbits in there as well. The main key, though, to make this happen is the tour has to be responsible with the footage. You cannot put anything out there that makes the player look bad. So it might have to be an after-the-fact type thing. Maybe it's not live right away, like sound effects.
And this is not happening in 2018.
Okay, whoa. This is it. Hey, man, coming in. guy gets a few sips of bullet in his blood, and all of a sudden starts working out.
Here's the thing. I agree with you. I completely agree with you. I wanted to. We had the conversation with Chap when we had him on the train, and it's just not going to happen. If we want to do a fantasy versus reality segment, that's fine.
Wow.
Like, we want it, but like, what are we setting ourselves up for here?
Wow. Okay. Well. Serm's off to a fiery start. Strat, why don't you go ahead?
Okay, so let me just regroup a little bit. So I want pro tracers on everything, okay? Fox actually did a really great job with this last year, and it just further reiterated that it's absurd to me that this doesn't exist. I want them on every fucking shot. I want them on the fucking putts, okay? Oh. I want them on T-flicks. I want them on ball tosses from coach to player on the range. Okay. I want them tracing every single thing that has a traceable arc through the sky next year.
Strat, this is very, very interesting. Let me throw this at you. Pro tracer on the club twirl.
Oh, nice little,
you gave me a heart
little twister there, a little tornado
on the tiger club twirl.
Jesus Christ. Give me an, all right. You're going to have to go, sir. I need to collect myself real quick. Go ahead. Do yours.
I think they would be good.
Of course they'd be fucking good. Everyone would be pregnant after them.
But again, I think we're in the fantasy versus reality segment. All right. Here's the deal. Guys, that's really fun. That's really fun stuff. Okay. But I don't think anything would give us more joy than Tiger Woods coming down the back nine at Augusta, battling Rory. Battling Ricky, battling DJ. I mean, it would be the greatest television. Ev, you want to talk about ratings? Whether he wins it or not, coming down the stretch, amen corner with all these young guns.
And he's fucking firing.
I mean, it would seriously, the world would be tuning in.
Mm-hmm. I just got goosebumps. I'm not going to lie.
So that's all I want. That's all I want out of this year.
That's what we want in 2018. How about, you know, the best way to learn and get what you want is to reflect, right? So we've got we've got two New Year reflections for 2018. My first reflection, I realized this the other day, when, you know, we're trying to make our picks, Strat and I are in the same year-long fantasy league worth a lot of money on the line, okay? We tried to
high
get
stakes,
you in
high
it.
Stakes.
I haven't picked my team yet, so I can't talk about it yet, okay?
Strat's probably going to use this episode as the basis of picking his team. But anyways.
He's always doing that.
Yeah. So I realize as we're here trying to pick players, we always talk about this bullshit of like, well, you know, Rory had a lot going on. He had an equipment change. He was getting married. He was getting a new contract. He had, like, Jason Day had family issues. Like, not to say that those things aren't real, but is golf the most high-maintenance game in history? It's the only game we talk about this stuff. Every professional sport, players have shit going on, but we literally talk about these, like, 3 to 4 things going on in someone's life as to why someone has a bad year. Is golf the most high-maintenance game in history?
Wow, hell of a take.
Yeah, it's a good take, and I think it's a good take. Strack, you go ahead.
I think there's a good chance that it could be. I think another sport that dips into the same territory here is cycling. It is a gear-obsessed sport. However, I've always found this interesting about golf, and I think this is why I'm always so impressed with Tiger and actually with Fig Jam. You've got guys that are so
That's Phil Mickelson, for those who don't know.
Thanks for that. Sorry, with the podcast audio glossary.
Uh-huh.
I think what makes their runs and their careers so impressive is because there's so many guys that are so fucking good, and you see it happen all the time where guys get super hot and then they're fucking dead. J-Day is a great example of this. Jordan Spieth, I mean, guy had the year of a lifetime and then petered out by his standards for the next 2 seasons. We'll see what happens with the pretender, the great pretender, JT. But the fact that these guys can piece together some of the most incredible golf over a period of 2 or 3 months, and then they're off the face of the earth, I think people are just searching for why the fuck that is. And I don't know if we all have the answer, which is why I think everyone looks to all of these other factors. But, I mean, hell of a take. I just don't know what the fucking answer is.
I mean, basically, the take is, to play your best golf, you shouldn't have anything going on in your life outside of golf. Everything should be perfect. And then you'll play great golf.
Well, guys, I mean, come on. Golf's the hardest sport, right? Let's just say it. To master, whatever words you want to use. It's an individual sport. What's other individual sports that are tennis?
Sure.
But
I mean, pole vaulting?
Tom Brady throws a couple of interceptions. Defense plays good. They win the game all as well. Mm. Hit a couple balls OB, missed the cut. Wow, what's wrong, right? It's just, we just look at these guys so differently because there's so much to analyze, right?
It's true.
That's true. That's very true.
And I think, it's your point. It's your point. You're right, Ev. I mean, and then we start looking at these other factors that, you know, oh, girlfriend, oh, that's a normal thing, right? Oh, just had a kid, you know, oh, he's taking too much vacation time. It's the hardest sport mentally.
You heard Kevin Chappell.
Mental grind.
You heard Chap tell us that he had a hangover to start the year because of his baby girl.
Chap attack.
Yeah. I mean, Chap that was deck. Just one thing. He had a kid, and it was tough.
I mean, why? And all the majority of the sports are so reactionary, right? The reaction of the play of, you know, of the moment. I mean, why does one guy shoot? Why does one guy win 1 week and then miss the cut the next? It's just all up there. The head's not right.
Yeah, like your boy. It's a mental game. Trevor Roman wins the Masters, finishes last the next week. Never hear from him again.
Well, you know, physical injuries can hinder your performance too. But if we want to get into the Trevor Immelman history of the last 10 years, I'd be happy to offset.
I think we're probably all right. Yeah, I think we're good.
Because he had a great swing. He had a great swing.
Okay. All right, let's maybe move it along.
Yeah,
maybe
speaking of New Year's reflections, Cermak called me on my drive home tonight in that lovely LA traffic in the rain. And gave one of the biggest hot takes I've heard him say. Serm?
Yeah, that was a great conversation, by the way. I was thinking about that. So obviously we saw that, you know, what I like to call the Mercedes Championship this past weekend in Hawaii, and DJ just blew away the field, okay?
Century
won by 8 shots.
Champion.
Yeah, I know. We know. I still call it the Mercedes. Guys, I'll kick this over to you right away. I mean, DJ said before the week, he thinks he can win 8 times. Then he goes and wins by 8 shots, okay? It's 1 for 1. Does Dustin Johnson have a similar intimidation factor that Tiger had in his prime? You know, his physicality, the fact that he hits shots that others can't. It feels like he's playing a different golf course, and I think he does. Maybe not to the extent of Tiger, but I think the guys that he plays with and they see what he can do, they know they can't compete. When he's on, what do you guys think?
I think you're on to something. Oh. I think it's an entirely different type than what Tiger had. Tiger is a fucking psycho. Yeah. He's got a singular focus on not just winning, but making everybody else look bad. And I fucking love that about him. Mm-hmm. I think DJ is what's intimidating about him is how fucking easy it seems and how uncaring he seems about things.
Kind of goes along with his attitude and his mantra.
Yeah. I mean, I think we were just talking about how it's the most mental game, and we're talking with a dude who the guy's house could be on fire, or he could have just holed out a 433-yard par four in Hawaii. And I don't think that we're going to see two different looks on his face. I mean, he's stoic, to put it in nice terms. Mm. And I think that's fucking terrifying when you know that the guy is so athletic. I've never heard guys talk about a golfer in such glowing terms, but also like they're a little bit scared sounding. Like just the way he swings the club, the distances that he hits. I think that they just know they can't compete. They got to just hope that he's off.
Look, all these – I just want to jump in real quick before you give your hot take. Look, all these guys can hit it far, right? But he can hit shots that they can't. I'll just tell you from playing competitively and playing in college, when I was playing with a guy who I thought I was maybe everybody as good as, but he hit it 50 yards by me, you know, and he's hitting every par 5 and 2 easily. That gets to you. It really gets to you.
You could have used clairvoyant out there.
No, I'm never going back to him. but I think so. DJ just if you put all their A+ games together, the best players in the world, I don't think he can be touched. I just don't. Ev.
Well, I don't necessarily need to support what you're saying because Ricky Fowler did. Ricky Fowler was on the tee box.
Fair point.
With DJ, they were waiting for the fairway to clear 500 yards down the hill, and asked DJ, the camera caught it, are you playing the same golf course as we are? And they had a little chuckle, and then DJ went back to the laser focus / you don't know where his head's at mode that he gets in. Beyond that, I would say maybe DJ is taking on a Tiger-like lifestyle that we saw revealed after his win, when he went over to kiss his lovely wife, Paulina Gretzky, and Strat confirmed she was too busy signing autographs that he basically had to say, kiss me, damn it. And they had the most awkward win kiss I've ever seen. And he looked back. It was very weird, very awkward. Maybe DJ is dipping in the strange like Tiger was. And maybe we should be afraid. Just throwing that out there.
That's an interesting tabloid take that we easy to do for DJ. All I'm saying is I think guys walk on the tee with him when he's playing his game and they're scared.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. I mean, I think it seems like we all agree here.
Yeah.
I still think Tiger would be able to.
Tiger was next level. There's no doubt. But
Tiger wanted to kill you. Dustin just wants to get in, grab his paycheck, and then hop on a boat.
I don't think Spieth or JT intimidate guys. I think they're incredible players, and Spieth's got 3 majors. I mean, they've got it factors, no doubt. But man,
no, they're not intimidating. They are not.
Yeah, Spieth's the guy where you're sitting there wondering how the hell he just won that tournament because he's sprinting all over the place all day
and making 30 footers.
Sure. Okay.
And I think Ev said JT didn't have a future.
No, that was me.
Yeah,
that was you. Both you. I agree. Both have said it at separate times. Okay.
Yeah, the great pretender. We'll see what happens.
I agree. He got his national championship last night. He's not going to be focused. Just throwing that out there.
Jesus.
Okay. We've got a couple more fun segments, but since we've had some fun at the start, let's give people, let's help them learn a little something. Okay. Here's some 2017 stats you didn't know that might inform some of your decisions for thinking about who you like in 2018. Serm, you want to kick it off?
Yeah, let's run through this. Just some interesting kind of golf nuts and nerds out there. So 2017 greens and regulation stat, okay? Brooks Koepka, U.S. Open champ, 8th on the money list. He was ranked number 108 greens and regulation from the fairway. Shocking stat.
Jesus Christ. Now,
Does that make you
like him more because he had that kind of year without hitting greens? Or is that a red flag?
Not sure the guy is a U.S. Open champ. It's just mind-boggling to me.
The little giggle.
Yeah, it kills me. It kills me. I literally wait every episode just to hear that. Okay.
Let's keep going.
Okay.
Okay, I got one for you.
Go ahead.
This should come as no surprise. In 2016-2017 season, there were 29 drives that were 400 yards or more. And big surprise, five of them were by DJ himself. So this is the most drives over 400 yards that there have ever been in a season of PGA Tour golf. Another
that's,
little interesting.
That's 17%. Anecdote. Clairvoyant just texted me. He's still
He is a numbers guy. Yeah.
Yeah. He's a numbers guy. He told me 17%. Okay.
He's technically a numbers guy. Yep.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Another interesting tidbit. Speaking of DJ, he claims that he has never swung 100% as hard as he can on a drive ever, not on the practice range, not in a tournament ever. He thinks that he probably at most is getting into the 80-85%. And I also watched him poke a few 330-yard drives out and claim that those were just stock fairway finders, well, just your classic 330-yard fairway finder.
Well, I can't sense your tone, Strat, but I believe him 100%. No pun intended.
So do I. I believe him too. It's fucking
because
absurd.
Nobody swings 100% in a tournament.
Oh, no, now, he's not saying that he's done it ever.
Well, that's, you know, I don't know what, you know. Maybe that's a little bit of a stretch, but nobody swings 100%. It's just stupid.
Of course not. But I'm telling you that the guy claims he's never done it ever. Not even for fun. Not even when he's fucking around with his buddies.
Wow.
He's probably claimed a lot of things he hasn't done, but okay. No, I mean the guy's good.
Good point.
You know,
yeah, that's good. You know, go ahead, Term.
The one I love this one. Cause you know, we never talk about the European Tour, but how about this? 2017 European Tour money list. Race to Dubai. Jay Rose, your boy, Ev. Mm-hmm. Guy plays in 12 events. And he's second on the money list. Or the European Tour order of merit, as we like to say. I think that's pretty fantastic. I think he was 15 on the PGA money list last year and second on the European Tour money list. The guy's unbelievable.
Had the hottest fall of anyone.
Yep, absolutely.
Okay, here's mine. So you think Koepka, Justin Thomas, and Tony Finau are due for big years because of what you heard from the fortune teller? Keep an eye on Luke List. Maybe I should have asked him this. He averages more distance off the tee than all three of them. He made more eagles than DJ and Rory. He was number one on tour in eagles. And he hits more greens than Hideki Matsuyama, Jon Rahm, and Justin Rose.
So you're basically, Ev, you're a better putter than he is what you're saying.
Well, I don't know if I told you about this new tip that Larry
told me.
Which
is not great.
Putter.
Which is not great.
Look out. Look out on the greens. It's the year of putts made for Ev.
Famous last words.
Yeah.
Ev, I think that's interesting because actually List, if you look at Luke List's stats, they're similar to Koepka. The guy doesn't really hit a lot of greens. The guy doesn't hit a lot of fairways. Not as good as Koepka, but it's an interesting tale. I like it.
Yeah, but if you think of Matsuyama, Rahm, and Rose as ball strikers, he hits more greens than them.
Yeah,
Matsuyama also can't putt.
Yeah, that's true. Okay.
Yeah, can't putt.
All right, let's move on to a fun segment. This is brand new because, you know, new year, new us. This is called Master Bachelor, okay? I know a lot of our golf fan listeners out there maybe got a gal in the car. Maybe they watch The Bachelor themselves. You know I run a fantasy league for it. A lot of cash on the line.
Maybe they don't.
But maybe they don't. But maybe they've heard of The Bachelor. Everyone knows someone that watches The Bachelor. And in the spirit of the premiere a couple weeks ago, in any excuse to talk the Masters, because we are previewing the new year, we're going to pick four guys. Okay? So villain, two people you love, and one that'll fall apart or make a scene at the Masters 2018. Oh, I need to run.
Buckle up.
Do I need to start it off?
Go ahead. Yeah. You're charged up.
All right, I'm charged up. You know, we're talking back. All right. Villain, Sergio Garcia, reigning champion. Guys, let's be real. The guy got his major. The monkey's off his back. We don't want to see him win another. Let's be honest. The guy's married. He's happy. He's complacent. I said this on Twitter. Got a couple snarky comments back. I don't think he's ever going to win again. Okay. Definitely not a major. I mean, I know he won a couple tournaments in Europe afterwards, but when it comes to the big tournaments on the PGA Tour, I don't see him contending. He just changed to Callaway. I don't know how he's going to handle the club change. Tell you what, I don't think it's going to be good. Sergio being there at the Masters, he's my villain. Okay? We've had enough. Two people I love equally that I've fallen in love with. Jordan Spieth, Rory McIlroy. Honestly, who do you root for to win the Masters? Rory's going to complete that career Grand Slam. Spieth potentially win another green jacket after blowing a couple. Obviously, I think we're all going to go for Spieth, but that would be one hell of a love tale at the end. And who do I think is going to fall apart drunk or make a scene on Sunday? I'm going to say John Rahm. Okay? He was contending last year as a rookie, PGA Tour rookie. And let's be honest, I could see John Rahm throwing a little fit around Amen Corner, maybe making a divot in one of the perfect greens. The Whoa. Patrons maybe throw a folding chair at him, let him know where he's at, and I could see him falling apart. Now it's
WWF.
Yeah. That's my Master Bachelor picks right there.
Hell yes, brother.
All right, sir.
You know, I'm really a big fan of the show here. So we're going to go the ultimate Masters villain is Bubba Watson. The guy's won two Masters. He's the worst Masters champ in the history of the tournament.
Oh, wow.
And he's really, not only is he disliked, very unpopular player, his game is really fallen. He's like 35 in the Ryder Cup standing. Nobody roots for the guy. I don't even think people from Florida root for the guy. He's just, the guy's a joke. Always a villain, worst champ. Lovers? Dude, it's Kuchar and Ricky. Okay, I think these are two guys. Well, how can you not love that smile, Matt Kuchar? That's ping pong game. But
plus, Ricky, he can walk 36 holes with those Skechers.
And how about Ricky's Hawaiian shirt this past week? How good was that?
God, what a dream!
God, he must be from California or something. I don't know, but I think the lovers are Kuchar and Ricky. They're just very likable guys, and they haven't won the major, right? I mean, we're pulling hard for these two. Okay. Fall apart. It's Pat Perez. I made the hot take earlier.
Oh.
This is the guy's playing great. What was he, 10th on the money list last year? He's off to a great start 2018. I think he's gonna compete, but he's gonna fall apart on Sunday, and it's not gonna be pretty.
You know, that checks out. So, you could totally see Pat Perez being on the Bachelor or Bachelorette, I guess, and getting too drunk night one, falling apart, just like he potentially will on Sunday at the Masters.
Yeah, kind of like, you know, breaking a table in the butler cabin or something like that, and just kind of not being asked back. So, Strat, go ahead.
Okay, I liked it all the way up until Pat Perez. I got.
I like him, but I just.
Okay. So I'm another big like Serm. I'm a big Bachelor guy. I never miss an episode of The Batch. I'm
sarcasm.
I'm always in. I'm on the couch on Wednesdays when it airs. Yep,
Mondays.
Anyways, Mondays. So. My villain is Patrick Reed. Shocked no one chose him already. He might just switch to Nike. Villain.
Yeah, switch to Nike, and he's gonna be wearing red on Sunday as he always does.
Are you fucking shitting me?
Oh, he didn't hear this, so Strat's been a little out of the loop.
Whoa! Oh wow!
Switch to Nike. All right.
It's a thinning clothing line. It helps him thin.
Yeah, it's for athletes.
Designed by athletes, tested in the field. Anyhow,
four athletes.
Patrick Reed, probably the world's best villain of all time. He's the guy that he's good and he's an asshole, and it's the worst combination. And it's not a team sport, so you can't even like him if he's on your team. I guess in Ryder Cup.
Ryder Cup. Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. But he's going to be the villain. Our lovers, talk about a throwback. Okay, it's the rerun we've all been waiting for.
Oh,
Tiger and Phil.
Cue the piano.
Wow. Yeah.
Can you imagine how wet Jim Nance's balls are going to get if Tiger and Fig Jam are hunting for victory?
They're going to have to go to a commercial break. There's not many of those.
There's not enough pimento cheese sandwiches to mop that mess up. So I'm going Tiger and Phil for the lovers. And for fall apart, make a scene, everyone's uncomfortable, people are snapping picks, and everyone wants to leave, I got Rory. Okay, I don't know what happened to this guy.
Oh, wow.
But
you're such a hater of him.
Yeah.
You know what? I want him to be good, and he consistently disappoints me. And the amount of times that I've picked him for a fucking golf pool and just been left with tears and regret has been too many to remember.
Wow.
I think he's going to be.
He's won four majors.
Yeah, they like to say that. I can't fucking remember the last one. However, this is what's going to make it all the worse, is that he's going to have an incredible three rounds. He's going to be primed on moving day, a slight falter. He'll probably be sitting in third, about four strokes back. We're going to see a fall apart that we've never seen before. It's going to make Jordan Spieth look like fucking JV ball, okay? He might soil himself. I don't know.
This has been a very, very descriptive segment.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's Soiling the Master Bachelor.
Pimento.
Let's finish this episode with the hot take that Brandel, Strat's boy, just threw out on Twitter. I think it was today, right?
Yeah, it was today.
It was today. Where he said DJ's drive, where he drove it 433 yards and almost hold out at Kapalua.
Well, not almost hold out. He put it to 10 inches.
I think it might have been less. Was it 10 inches?
I'd qualify it as a nearly holding it.
Yeah, I thought it was a few inches.
It was less than a foot.
A foot. Okay, that's fair. Was the best golf shot ever hit?
Wow.
Well, if anybody who's listening hasn't seen the shot, go take a look.
Yeah, it's a fantastic shot. Unbelievable. No, but it's definitely not the best shot ever hit.
Well, and I think that just – what context are we in, right? I think Brandel just took – I think, Ev, you and I were talking earlier. He took a Skip Bayless kind of take, right? Yeah, sensational he's journalism.
Mr. Skip Bayless.
Yeah, which is tough to see sometimes. is he wrong? No. Is it a – effective opinion? Could he make the case? Yes. Is he making the case on Twitter? And we've been tweeting at him all day. Yeah. But come on, right? It's not the best shot ever. But I guess there's the most skilled shots we've ever seen, and then there's like the most timely pressure shots we've ever seen. But I just think it's just a hot take to stir up his Twitter feed, and then he blocks them. You know.
Well, this is the reasoning. He said that hitting it long and straight is the hardest shot in golf. And considering he's the number one player in the world with the tournament on the line, on the back nine, to have that shot makes it the best shot ever hit. And my point that I tweeted out today was, let's be honest, the guy's frame allows him to – he's a freak. He's a freak of nature.
Well, not necessarily.
I mean, he's got – I'm not going to discount his talent and his mechanics, but his frame allows him to do things that other people can't. And we know that hitting long and straight – is what DJ is all about.
There's a lot of guys that are built. There's guys that are built like him.
I mean, not many.
There's a lot of tall, strong, lean guys out there.
Okay. Well, maybe we should have another episode where Serm lists out those guys that are built like DJ. But my point is that he hit it in a certain line. It hit a hump and it happened to roll down a hill and go less than a foot to the hole. That is not a
precision, that's interesting, right?
Skilled shot.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah. So do you have a better shot than that in mind?
I think we do, but Strat, I think you're chomping at the bit. Go ahead.
Okay. Brandel's a fuckwit. We all know this.
I kind of like the guy. I've gained a lot of respect for him, but that's a different kind. Right. That's a different
term. Loves Brandel.
Jesus Christ. Okay. I think the fucking waistcoat was a little too tight when he decided to peck this one out on his phone.
Oh.
I can think of at least two Tiger shots. And we're talking full iron shots on Sunday to win matches that are more impressive than the drive. The drive is fucking psychotic. Let's not, like, it's an unbelievable shot. And the fact that people that don't even know about golf know about this shot speaks to how good it is. But there's a huge element of luck of the draw, because we saw dudes driving that green all tournament. And sometimes they'd roll off the green to the right. Sometimes they'd roll off short.
And that's a really good point.
He hit an incredible shot that happened to also have a tremendous amount of luck involved and a great pin placement. And the guy nearly had one of the most incredible hole in ones of all time. But I don't think it's the greatest shot ever.
But
it's
before we get into
an insane shot, but not the.
I mean, Brando's got to believe in his mind that it isn't the best shot. I think it's just taking a hot take just to stir up.
He's trying to be
crap.
Skip Bayless.
Skip Bayless. He's a fucking Skip Bayless.
And it pisses Strat off more than the next guy.
It's true, guys. What a way to start off the year. Little preview for the 2018. You guys have any golf goals? Everybody's trying to get better out there. You guys have any goals for your game?
I mean, Strat's playing more golf than anybody. Strat, you want to talk about it?
Yeah, I got baby number two on the way, so I'm really trying to front load my 2018. I'm going for getting the handicap down to a 5. That would be my golf goal.
What are you at right now? 6?
6.8, I believe, is the official SCGA.
I guess my goal is more mechanical. My goal is to be able to trust myself to use my lower body to start the downswing.
Interesting.
Oh, okay. A little metaphysical.
A little personal. Just for consistency reasons, something I'm really working on. That's my goal for 2018.
Okay.
I got a process and I got a results goal. Process goal. I want to get better at chipping. I want to figure out different options with different clubs. Just feel better, more armed around the greens. And number two, I want to fucking contend at the member guest at Meadowbrook Country Club in St. Louis.
First year
I'm being brought in as the guest. $1,000 a player. Winners get 16 grand.
You
want to
get to that horse race.
We got a practice round, dinners, poker nights every night, and a shootout partner with a gallery partner match on Sunday. I want to be there to contend.
Ev, who's your partner?
Have you heard of him? Ryan Winehouse?
Oh, wow.
Former top amateur player in Missouri. I don't know if you've heard of him.
Well, member guest play is certainly interesting. I think a topic for another episode, but I think you can do it, Ev.
All right. Well, 2018 is going to be a good year. We got some big interviews on the horizon. We're going to take a little bit of a different approach on some episodes. A lot of podcasts out there just focus on events. We might do some deep dives on some players, the guys you love the most, give you some backstories and deep dives on those guys. And who knows? Maybe more fortune tellers. We'll see. Clairvoyant.
He knows if he's coming back. We'll see if he is. He knows, though.
It'll be interesting to see what kind of feedback we get from the listeners about his performance and overall style.
Yeah, I think – I don't know what's going on with Serm and Clairvoyant, but I only expect positive feedback.
So. There's some bad blood, clearly. That was intense.
This is great. We're kicking it off, boys. Here we go. 2018.
All right. New year, new us. Let's go. We'll be right back.